Now, we come to Psalm 14 here. I wish I could stay with these psalms longer than I am. I reluctantly leave each one of them, but after all, this is just a 5-year program, and we do have to move along. Now, in the 14th psalm, this is a psalm that you find it actually linked to other psalms. The 12th psalm, for instance. In that psalm, you'll recall we saw the corruption of the last days. The godly man had ceased, it looked like, and the godless was in control of the earth. And corruption and wickedness and lawlessness abounded. And you may think it's a picture this day, but actually, if I may use the common colloquialism of the street, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till the great tribulation comes. And by the way, I hope you don't see that, because God's church, those that are in the body of believers, just not going through it. He's already said He'll keep them from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole world to try them that dwell on the earth. That's not for the church. He said they'll leave before that time. So we have here the corruption and wickedness of the last days, actually the end of the age, and this psalm certainly sets it before us. Now, will you notice here that it has a marvelous arrangement, and it has such a fine arrangement made by Bishop Horn that I'm going to use his outline today, and he divides this psalm into 3 parts. You have the corruption of the world in the first 3 verses, and then you have the second division, the enmity against the people of God. That's verses 4-6, and then verse 7, the longing and prayer for salvation. Now, this is the picture of this 14th psalm. You can see it's a very brief psalm, but very important. Now, for the first 3 verses, and we have in these first 3 verses, I'm reading now verse 1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Now, the Hebrew word for fool here is Nabal. Now, that may ring a bell in your thinking, because there was a man by the name of Nabal. He was married to a very lovely woman by the name of Abigail. And this man Nabal fell down dead, and he was actually a fool. That's what his name meant. He was a fool. He acted a fool. He wanted to fight against David, which had been a big mistake. And when Abigail, who was apparently a very lovely person, and I think she was the greatest wife that David ever had, and so we have here that man Nabal, and that's the word that's used here. Now, the word can be translated by the word simple, or silly, or simpleton, or fool, or madman, that is, insane. And I had a friend that had wonderful success in dealing with atheists. And he was a real brain, by the way. He was in a group of men one day, and one of these atheists there, they're generally big-mouth individuals, he was saying, "I don't believe there's a God. I just don't think that there's a God, and I think man, when he dies, he doesn't have a soul. He's just like a dog when he dies." And he was just raving on, and raving like a madman. This friend of mine waited till the group began to break up, and he went to this man. He said, "By the way, did I understand you to say that you're an atheist?" The man launched into another tirade. No, he didn't believe there was a God. "Well," my friend said to him, "said, I'd like to ask you a question or two." He said, "Now, the Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, and that word fool means insane or a madman. Now," he says, "either you were not sincere when you said that, you were just talking for the benefit of this crowd, or else you are a fool and a madman. You're insane." And he said, "I'd just like to know which one it is." May I say to you, the man turned and walked away, because only a madman in this universe today, and with what man knows about the universe already, he has to be a madman to say there is no God that's back of this universe that we're finding now. is ticking off its time more accurately than any clock or watch that man can make. And friends, there's no watch running around today that some man didn't make it. And a universe that is time much better than any clock, I want to say that universe tells that somewhere there's a universe maker. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the fool begins now to appear on the scene. We've already had, by the way, one reference to it back in the 10th Psalm, where it says, God is not in all his thoughts. And the better translation is, all his thoughts are, there is no God. That is the place. Now, the very climax, therefore, of imbecility, as someone has said, is the man that says, there is no God. And he exhibits the very depth of human depravity. Now, I want to say it, and I want to say it carefully, because I recognize that many of them have PhDs today and are teaching in our universities. But the lowest that a man can go in human depravity is an atheist. That's what the Word of God says, not what Vernon McGee says. You're a madman. You're crazy. You haven't any real sense. Now, you may have a high IQ, but I used to teach with a man that was a PhD, and he didn't have sense enough to get in out of the rain. And I'll be honest with you, that's true. I played golf with him one day, and it began to rain, and he looked at me, and he says, what shall we do? What will any sensible person do when it starts pouring down rain? I said to him, I think we better get in out of the rain. Even I knew that, but he didn't seem to know it. He said, what shall we do? May I say to you, and he was really asking for information there, by the way, what shall we do? Now, will you notice, this psalm goes on and says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And I believe you'll find that every atheist is also a great sinner. I think that you'll find him also given over to gross immorality. That's characteristic. A man was telling me some time ago who mixes with the college set today. He said it's amazing the number of PhDs who claim to be atheists and who are living in gross immorality. And he says some of them actually living in filth. And I mean just old material, physical filth. Now, he says here, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And what did he find? They're all gone aside. Now, they may not be atheists, but this is quoted in the 3rd chapter of Romans by Paul. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, that's a picture of you and me, friends. I'm not an atheist, and I don't imagine you are. But we're sinners. We do not do good. That's not the condition of man at all. So we have here, first of all, the corruption of the world given to us. And this is the very depths that man can go to. Now, verse 4, and we see in this section here, something I think very important for us to see. It's enmity against the people of God. Now, they're not only against God, but they're against the people of God. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. And all of this pretense today on the part of rich politicians, and a liberal told me not long ago, I know him real well, he's a college professor, but he's a liberal, liberal in theology and liberal in politics. He calls these politicians today limousine liberals. He said they don't know anything about what the poor man goes through at all. They're rich men today. And yet they pretend to be liberal. They're like the rich man that the Lord told about that always let some crumbs fall off his table for the poor man, for Lazarus, to keep him satisfied. Now, I've found no rich man today giving up his riches to help the poor. He's for giving up what little you and I have accumulated. And he'll tax us to death. But he somehow or another escapes the taxation. Now I say, God sure does know human nature, does he not? This is the picture of them. Now, in verse 7 is this note of triumph. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. And this looks forward in anticipation to that glorious day when out of Zion will come that. The longing and prayer for God's salvation. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Now, you can't misunderstand that prayer. Now, anyone that says they do not believe God has a future purpose for Israel at that very moment are saying they do not know very much about the Psalms, because you may try to avoid what is so clearly stated in other places. But how you can deny when you come to a place like this that this is the heart cry and the joy of the psalmist is down yonder in the future.